今年一月非常的冷哈，那我们过去两个礼拜哈，我们取消了好几个活动哦。那今天还是非常的冷哈，十几度应该算是十几度 F 吧哈，应该是负几度 C 啊，负很多度 C 哈。所以我们的那个排水道结冰，然后呢，好几次厕所都不能通哈。那这样，然后听说，台湾有一些地方哦，就是不该下雪的下雪了哈。然后不知道哪一个沙漠地区也下雪，没有下很热的地方下雪。然后澳洲哈是冲到47-48度的样子，非常的热哈。
This January has been extremely cold, and so in the past few weeks, we have actually canceled quite a few activities. It's so cold that the plumbing and the pipes have been frozen for the bathroom, so we have been having some issues over the past few weeks as well with the plumbing. And not only here, but it seems like over the world, the climate hasn't been very harmonized or very calm. Where in Taiwan, there are several places that snowed, and in some desert areas, there were also some light snow. In Australia, the weather has went all the way up to 40-some degrees Celsius, but here in New York, it seems to be we're in the teens, Fahrenheit-wise, and in the negatives, if measured in Celsius. So it's quite imbalanced everywhere.
那光在美国地区出现的比如说野火啦齁，然后突然大雨造成的这个泥叫什么 ?Mass, 那土石流齁。然后各种现象，然后在网络上很容易现在看到各式各样的新闻齁，包括北极熊饿得像什么皮包骨了齁，然后没有地方可以待着齁。面对这样很多很多的自然的乱象，那当然还有我们人为的社会的一些混乱现象。其实大家都很想办法看可不可以把这样的一个可不可以停止，可不可以 reverse， 就是说回到我们最原始最自然最平衡的状态。那各从科学家政治家一般平民老百姓大家都提出很多观点，为什么会造成这个原因的观点，那也提出了可能解决的方案。
So there seem to be a lot of calamities around the world these days. Wildfires, monsoon leading to the excessive flooding in California, or we have also been reading about polar bears starving to death or losing their natural habitat. All these calamities and out of ordinary types of phenomenons that's taking place in nature as well as human-made disasters. So with all these phenomena going on, it makes a lot of us to really want to bring an end to all these calamities and reverse the situation so that we can return to a state where it's in its most original and balanced form. So a lot of proposals has been raised by politicians or just regular civilians alike, trying to come up with ways to bring things back to order.
包括我们科学家也非常的努力哈，在最近因为科技的发展哈，那以前没有侦测到，在宇宙中我们以前没有侦测到的东西，现在侦测到了哈。那以前叫做Dark mass 哈，就是什么黑色的质量哈，就是侦测到看不见哈。然后还有就是对于宇宙的这个什么各式各样的的什么 gravity 啊，然后呢，他们也现在很努力的想要在银河系找跟这个地球大小差不多 因为重力差不多嘛，看看可不可以有银河系这么大，有跟地球差不多环境的地方，可以让人类搬去住。那最讨论最多的就是那个 Mars， 叫什么火星的火星。
So amidst of all these different proposals, scientists have also been working really hard in finding solutions. And with the advance of technology, there has been a lot of new discoveries, such as when we look into the space, there are discoveries of the dark mass, where it's now being able to be detected by the equipment that we have, and new discoveries about the phenomena of gravity. And there are also a push to find in the search for some sort of a planet or that would be similar in its climate with Earth. Somewhere in this vast Milky Way, there ought to be some place where it will be similar to Earth, and perhaps it's possible for human beings to then migrate, to move to that new planet. So a lot of the talk these days focus on exploring Mars to see if it will be habitable for human beings.
为什么要讲这个？上次我们禅坐会的时候呢，就有禅宗在问，他说我们一天到晚在这边讲啊，止观啊，禅修啊，心要不动啊，然后什么是真心啊，就是往那种好像非常形而上的追求在努力，可是我们实际生活中面对的这么冷，这么热，然后这么就是很直接对我们身心直接伤会造成伤害的这种冲击，好像有很悬很什么悬殊的落差，是不是我们在禅堂里面打坐是不是有点太什么，好像鸵鸟，是不是鸵鸟埋在沙堆里面，是不是解决不了我们现实的问题啊？
So why am I raising all these and bringing up all these new advancements or discoveries? It's because during one of the meditation class sessions that we had, someone raised this question that as we practice the Buddha Dharma and we talk about meditation, focusing on cessation and contemplation, meditation, the true mind, the deluded mind, and keeping the mind still. It seems that all these discussions has been very relatively metaphysical. It's not really quite related to real life. Whereas we are confronted with all these situations in the world where the climate becomes extremely hot or cold, and there are actual harms that could happen to both our body and mind. So is it really the case that there is a gap between the things that we're discussing as well as the real world? Are we out of touch? Is it the case that by practicing meditation and focusing on these, the mind, that we're sort of like an ostrich that's burying our head in the sand and not really looking at the problem square in the eye? So what's going on here?
所以呢，这部《战茶三个夜报经》，因为今天我真的很想把它 conclude， 希望如此啊。其实它的内容真的非常的丰富，那如果大家能够回忆一下我们这么多堂课来在讲战茶三个夜报经，一开头为什么坚定性菩萨要问佛问题，然后请地藏王菩萨出来回答，它的原因就是因为我刚刚叙述的我们现在正在经历的一切乱象，那我们没有办法安住，所以坚定性菩萨就问佛说，要怎么样才可以让我们在这种末法的乱世里面呢，能够有坚固的信心，对于我们所修学的一切有坚固的信心。那上半部呢，就是因为我们搞不清楚嘛， 那与其去算命，算命想发财，娶得好嫁得好找得好事业，不如呢来怎么样依一时境界来赞茶。就是说当我们在意思也就是说当我们在看任何事情的现象，现象发生的时候呢，我们要用什么当成它的基础来看待这件事情是非常重要的。好，比如说一件不好事情发生在我们身上，如果呢我们用世俗的名利，好，世俗的得失来看的话，就觉得我好倒霉哦，不然就我上辈子做错什么事情，对不起你，对不对？可是如果我们能够用一时境界我们的真心为基础来看的话呢，那这一切现象对于你要不要起心动念，对于他所做的一切可不可以影响你，还有对于他人为什么会有这样的一个苦难或是情绪，可不可以同理他的问题的起源，还有同理他本来跟我们一样清净的本心，这个会决定我们怎么反应这个世间一切的现象。
So the reason why I brought up all this is because it's these issues that we're confronted with is can actually be closely related to the focus of today's talk. And we have been discussing the sutra for the discernment of the consequences of wholesome and unwholesome karma for quite a few sessions already. I really do hope that we can conclude the teaching of this sutra today. We'll see. But the reason it's actually closely related to what's happening in the world today, because firm pure faith bodhisattva first raised the question to Earth Sword Bodhisattva, and the question was essentially asking why is it that people, sentient beings, are not able to remain stable and still and in this turbulent time. And how is it that we are able to generate a firm faith to continue our practice? So chapter one of the sutra, if you can recall, focus on discussing the one true reality and using this one true reality as a lens for us to contemplate and understand what's going on around us. And it's really important, depending on what you use as your basis of understanding, so in a sense, what lens that you're using to look at phenomena, it would determine how we understand what's going on around us. For instance, if something bad has happened to you, you have lost, how are you going to look at the issue? If you examine the situation from one true reality, understanding with one true reality, then it will help you to decide, what should I really be disturbed by what's happening? Would I be able to understand what's going on and perhaps even give rise to empathy toward the other person? And even going even further, perhaps all sentient beings and the person that has caused harm to you actually share the similar nature as me. So by having a firm understanding of one true reality, or at least knowing of it, would help us reflect and understand the problems that's happening around us.
当然这是佛陀希望我们能够直接这样子操作我们的心，但是我们真的是业障蛮重的，即便我这样子讲，事情发生到我身上，我也没有办法立即做到，立即用真实观去反映一切的现象。所以在上卷的时候呢，佛陀用地藏王菩萨介绍了一种用赞茶，边做边观察，边做边观察。那因为我们观察力不好，所以他又用那个赞茶轮来帮助我们观察，来就是说，比如说我现在 生病好不了，好，那就我赶快去做一些什么事情，好，然后我去忏悔，然后我再来赞茶，哎，发现你的情况改变了，或是你的缘开始转了，然后你就有一点点信心了，对不对？然后你就赶快说，哦，那我赶快再去想办法帮助他人，我再去做布施，好，然后呢，我不要生气，好，然后我呢放生，好，就是人家给人家一条活路走，我就书上怎么写，我就想办法像那了凡四训，我就去做一做，然后你去赞茶，然后你去观察你实际发生在身上了，哎，真的有改变呢，然后你的信心就会越来越强，然后在这个过程中，我们终于明白业力怎么一回事，为业力怎么转，为什么可以转？因为没有一件事情是永恒不变的。
So, certainly the Buddha had the hope he has for us is so that all of us could actually realize one true reality and operate directly from this understanding of one true reality. But to be honest, for all of us, it's really difficult to use it immediately when we are confronted with challenges. And that's why in this sutra, in the first chapter, Erstor Bodhisattva laid out a very concrete method for us. Through investigation and using these dials that he created for us to cast and investigate the relationship between our deeds and the consequences that come about. So it sort of works, the method works as a cycle where you do something, repent, and then cast, and to see if the karma has indeed changed. So for instance, if someone is sick, after reading the sutra, they can start repenting for all the past misdeeds and then recast again to see whether the karma has indeed changed. And by doing through this over and over again, you actually see that, oh, through repentance and doing positive good karmic deeds, you actually can change some of the karmic consequences. And by doing so, you're going to generate a firmer and stronger faith, confidence about your practice, and then further pursue doing positive deeds. And so again, this is a cycle. And ultimately, what this is leading to is for us to understand that the karmic consequence can actually be altered and transformed. And it tells you how it can be transformed and why it can be transformed. And the reason why karmic consequence can indeed be transformed is because nothing is permanent. And so it will all change according to conditions.
Sorry, I haven't heard the earlier lectures. When you say cast...
Yeah.
Do you mean cast as in, say, throwing dice or something? Right. Okay. And whatever comes up on the cast, you can read the karma of the current situation from that. Is that the idea?
Yep. Roughly speaking, yes. There are three kinds. You need to cast in three level. The first casting is asking what we have done in the past. Uh-huh. And the second is which is heavier, which is lighter, which is good and which is bad.
Which karma is heavier and which
is
lighter.
The ten, you know, the ten, the three mind, four mouth, and three body, you know, the ten virtuous deeds.
Right,
and
okay.
The ten unwholesome deeds.
Yeah.
And the third one is about, you know, how what the karma brought you. For example, if you commit a lot of killing, then now you are very sick, and then you are asking, can I get cure? Is this the right doctor for me? And then you will get your answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Just roughly speaking. 应该不用翻中文嘛，哈。那 所以呢，上卷的主要功能是这样，但是它最后要告诉我们的是说，这一切可以转的原因是因为我们的心。好，那我们的心要讲到心的时候，就进入下卷。心要怎么修炼呢？好，就有两个，好，刚刚就是两种主要的方法来修炼我们的心。好，那它还是基于一时境界。好，就是这两个方修行方法还是基于我们的一时境界。好，
So that was the focus of the first chapter, the first of the two chapters, which is talking about giving you a method of casting and understanding your karmic. But ultimately, the point is to teach you that karmic consequences can indeed be transformed, and this is all because of the mind. So the discussion then turned to focusing on the mind, which is the focus of the second chapter.And in the second chapter, it talks about, so how do we go about with our practice? And in that chapter, in the second chapter, two methods has been laid out as a way to cultivate.
所以第一类的方法哈，是讲到唯心是观，就是教我们怎么样观察这一切世间的现象，其实是我们唯心事所变的。不要执着于外相，好，和自己的情绪反应，要知道说这一切的现象的本来它是怎么产生的，它是唯心所造的。
So one, the first method is the mind conscious only contemplation, and the focus of it is to tell you that everything is indeed manifested from our mind.And so we should not practice, put too much emphasis on external phenomenon or our own mental activities, like the emotional reactions, etc. Because all phenomena, all external and internal phenomena are all created by the mind.
Okay. 那我不会再重复细讲哈，因为上一次的 talk 就是讲这个主要的，前两次的 talk 哈。那我今天还要再重复指出来的是讲，我们上次有讲到，这个唯心是观里面就很重要的一个方法，要修止观。那止观有三个层次哈，在大乘止观法门里面呢，它就很清楚的分类哈。我们的所观境，当我们要修止观的时候呢，修的那个对象哈，当然我们没有办法一下子就是直接看。观真实性，但是必须要能够有针对分别起的跟依他起的好这个妄想要来观哈。
So I'm actually going to review what we talked about in the previous sessions and particularly focusing on I'm going to go into detail with the first method.Of the mind consciousness only contemplation. And in order to do so, you need to have a firm understanding of the teaching of calming and insight. And over here, it points out that there are three different kinds of objects for your contemplations, and it's important to differentiate them and to know exactly what are you contemplating.
那分别起的这种是因为我们第六次跟第七次的分别妄想，好，那依他起的是因为我们第八世的阿赖耶识，好，它不是清净的，所以抓的 database 的 data 都是经过扭曲的。
So the deluded thinking that with discrimination, they actually arises from the sixth and seventh consciousness. Whereas the nature of other dependent, it comes from the eighth consciousness. And wherever it came from, the seed, the original seed in these consciousness were already distorted to begin with.
Not pure, yeah.
They're impure and distorted.
Yeah. 这个呢，就是方法哈，讲到比较细的方法，我们怎么样在分别起的，好，第六、第七世 分别起要怎么做止跟观，好，这个非常重要哈。就是，然后就是因为一切，当我们的心产生看到世间一切现象，产生一个什么 attach， 就是你看，哎，哇，这个杯子很漂亮，其实我的心就住在这个杯子上。当我的心住在这个杯子上的时候，我的心就没有办法全面的觉知，那这个杯子就变成是我的所缘境。好，那所以变成说，当你的心在助念的时候呢，你要很清楚知道你自己在看这个杯子，而不是乱看，一下看杯子，一下看外套，一下看灯。好，它是我要看杯子，这个是观，我很清楚知道我要看杯子。那我的念头指门，就是说我的心只在念头在这边，可是呢，我不可以让我呢，就是随心，就是乱看。当我知道乱看的时候，我要用我的心念把我那个乱看的前念把它断止，叫做止。好。
So in order to stop this the discriminating nature of the mind, we have to know what is the focus of contemplation and how to stop it. So for instance, when we see a phenomenon, say this cup, when we see it, oftentimes we become immediately attached to the form, to this phenomenon. And by focusing on the cup, we lose the ability to perceive totality holistically. So this type of practice tells us it's important to know and be very clear that right now I'm looking at the cup. It's something that I'm doing consciously. And by having this conscious awareness, it will prevent you, or we have to work toward being scattered and just randomly focusing on different things without any focus and not knowing where the mind is. So using the mind to focus and knowing clearly about what you're focusing on is one way to stop and calming of the mind. And ultimately, it's also to know to stopping the thought.
所以这个分别起的是为什么会这样子，会东看西看，然后喜欢这个不喜欢那个，是因为第六识起分别嘛，哈，那所以就是我们的心念会住于，哈，就是好的喜欢，坏的讨厌，对不对？可是到了依他性的时候是这样，那我喜欢杯子，我不喜欢香蕉，你喜欢苹果，你喜欢这个，你喜欢什么，喜欢时钟，但是很不喜欢苹果，这是我们以前什么习气养成来的，喜欢不喜欢。但是呢，你若把我这个杯子偷去，我心爱的杯子把我偷去，我把我打破，我会怎样？那你最心爱的钟被打破被偷去，你会怎样？我会怎样跟你会怎样，不太一样，对吧？因为在我们第八识里面，当我们起嗔恨心的时候呢，我们会采取的身口意三业每个人都不一样。好，有的人就是现在常常大家对于这个婚姻的忠诚度好像有了一点点这个认知上的不同哈，所以有小三又怎么样，小四小五小六嘛，然后女众可不可以，因为女众叫小王，对不对？好，你要小王一小王二小王三，对不对？所以大家就觉得说，哎，我这个时候我的这个价值观已经不一样。但是有的人如果发现先生太太背叛他，是拿刀拿枪的，对吧？有没有很多社会新闻都这样来的？不用说，不要说太太先生哦，光女朋友男朋友就可以拔刀拔枪了呢。就对于感情的这个嗔恨心，这个执着心这么的强烈。但有些人就说 被抛弃就被抛弃了，再找一个嘛，对不对？他是也是有点生气啊，我这么好，你居然不要我，好，没关系，我再去找好的。但他不会说拔刀去修理那个抛弃我的那一个人。所以为什么这里的好恶在内心里面哈，是你连坐在那边那个人都没有在你面前，然后你都会气得半死的原因是什么？他已经种在我们的第八四田里面。那你坐在那边打坐的时候呢，他的依他性是告诉我们，是他的依他，不，那个他不是那个对象。其实我们依他性的这种烦恼是来自于我们内心第八识。好，他这边讲的依他是指我们内心第八识里面的那些种子。你看看人家的反应，看看自己的反应，就知道你自己八识田里面是种什么样的种子。然后从这边去修止观，一发现你喜欢不喜欢的心很强的时候，你就观他，其实不是那个人造成的，是你内心里面的东西。然后什么止？这个内心的这个境界有善有恶吗？好，比如说长短，在这边讲啊，长短好恶得，香蕉跟苹果它有错吗？我香蕉长这样，苹果长这样，香蕉吃起来这样，苹果吃起来那样，它有错是非？他自己有好恶吗？但是我很讨厌呢，你也很讨厌呢，对不对？那个人他一天到晚碎碎念，又长得那么难看，他有好善恶吗？人家有喜欢他、爱他、爱他要死的人呢，对不对？那只是你讨厌啊，那你不能说人家不好，不能存在哈。所以这个依他性止观嘛，就是说你赶快看到内心啊，你的内心是这样啊，他的内心是这样，那最后清净的内心又是怎么样呢？好，就叫我们修这样子的止观。
So what we talked about earlier, the reason why we look at this and look at that and give rise, and it's because our discriminating mind comes from the sixth consciousness that leads us to liking something and disliking something.So that's relating to the first nature of one tendency, first tendency of the mind that we are trying to calm and still. And the second one is the nature of other dependent. And to illustrate this, apples and bananas.Cups and clocks, people like different things. And why is that that people like different things? And let's say I have this cup here and someone break it, and this is my favorite cup. And so now what's going to happen? Usually the eighth consciousness will give rise to hatred. But the kind of reaction that comes about would actually differ from person to person. Breaking this cup, my cup, will cause one type of reaction on me, and breaking your cup will cause a different kind of reaction on you. And that this has to do with the kind of seeds that have been planted in our eighth consciousness. Let's use another example. It seems that these days people have different understandings about marital fidelity. So it seems that extramarital affairs isn't such a big deal anymore for many people.And having one mistress after another, or even for women, it seems to be also kind of okay, acceptable for them to also take on lovers. So the value has changed significantly over the past years. But confronted with this kind of disloyalty, disloyalty creates different kind of reactions in different people. In some, they generate such strong...hatred that the one that has been cheated on will pull out guns or knives and try to, duke it out to seek revenge. And in this case, it's a very, very strong hatred. Yet in some others, when they found out that they have been cheated, for some other people, they don't seem to care as much. Yes, there's some anger and some sadness, but then it seems to be okay for them to move on and say, hey, if you can't appreciate me, then I'll find some other people who can appreciate me. So why is that seemingly similar phenomenon will arouse different kind of reaction in different people? And that is because different people have planted different sorts of seeds in their eighth consciousness. And this is what we're referring to here with this nature of other dependent. It's dependent, the reactions is dependent on the kind of seeds that you have planted in your eighth consciousness. And so from this particular point, that's how we practice calming and stilling and stopping the wandering mind. In this kind of situation, the fault isn't really necessarily lies in the external phenomenon. Going back to the earlier example of liking bananas and hating apples, is there anything intrinsically wrong with apples and bananas? Why is it that one person likes it and the other person hates it? And how about people? If you dislike someone strongly, is there anything intrinsically wrong with that person? Hey, if that's the case, then why is it that there are other people who love that person, yet I have such strong aversion toward that person? So ultimately, these all have to do with the kind of seeds that you have already planted in your own mind, in your eighth consciousness. And in order to stop that, it's for us to look within to understand that all these strong reactions has nothing to do with the external objects, but it's related to what's going on inside the mind, the seeds I have. And furthermore, to try to understand our own pure nature.
Okay, 好，那这个我要跳过去了哈。我是不是开错？哎，开错档案，还是我存错？不会吧？然后呢，接下来呢，就是说当我们可以就是分别性跟依他性对于这种现象分别性跟依他性的这个现象升起，能够用止观把它先降服住，不要被它弄得七上八下之后呢，才可以去修什么真如实观，才可以把心稳定之后直接去观察什么是我们的真心，什么是那个一时相。好。
So once we have a decent understanding of the discriminating nature and other dependent nature, and then further using calming and contemplation to calm to calm the mind,After able to achieve that, then we are able to move on to the contemplation of true suchness.
Okay, so 止观哈 we use samatha and vipassana. Okay. 好，那我们就是，但是呢，在我们修学的过程当中哈，在接下去经文就讲说哈，我们的跟大略分根气有两种，就立根跟顿根。因为地藏王菩萨介绍这两种方法，就是唯心是观跟真如实观。当然最安全的方法是大家都先修，就是前面都已经三业清净之后呢，我们来修，先修唯心是观，然后再修真如实观。但是呢，如果你是一个很立根的人，像我们的祖师大德再来的，他们是可以直接修真如实观，但是呢，先修唯心是观也没关系。但是我们这种顿根的众生，就是听也听不懂，做也做不到，这种就先我们先忏悔，然后再修先修唯心是观，千万不可以直接修真如实观。
So with regard to which practice to choose, actually in the sutra, it divides people, practitioners, into two different types. One with very high capacity, sharp roots, and the other ones that has relatively low capacity. And for those with, I mean, the most ideal situation is that we all have high capacity and we have clear all the past karmas, and then we will be able to go directly into the practice of true suchness contemplation. But that's only suitable for people who are well prepared and with really high capacity, such as great sages and saints. And for those people, the great masters, it's all right for them to go directly to the contemplation of true suchness. It doesn't hurt either if they want to start out using the mind consciousness only contemplation. However, it's very important for most of us, actually, with low capacity, to know that it's not suitable for us to go directly to the contemplation of true suchness. We have to start off first from repentance, and from there, moving on to the contemplation of mind consciousness only. Only after doing so, with substantial practice, then moving on to the contemplation of true suchness. It's not advisable to start out with the contemplation of true suchness right away.
这个原因等一下马上就讲，但是我把经典里面呢，跟我们的建议，就是根据我们的善根跟烦恼的轻重，厚薄轻重呢，来建议我们应该怎么修学。那所谓的善根是什么？其实善根真的很难说明，但是我自己个人的理解是，假设一讲到这个第一，就是讲到每次讲到第一地，就是那个讲到佛陀的核心教学，讲到空性什么东西，你就很容易相应，你会产生信心，或是讲的一些，讲说就是所有佛陀讲的一些，我们应该就是让身口意清净，然后你跟真心那个第一地，你会很容易相应的，这就是善根比较好。那善根弱是什么？你每次听到什么，你都觉得是这样吗？是这样吗？即便遇到祖师大德在你面前这样讲，你还是觉得是这样吗？好像不是呢。我来问你100个问题，我才要相信一点点。这种的，你就会觉得说，哇，这个要种一点善根，怎么弄呢？种都种不下去。这个这么执固执啊。这就我们自己检测一下自己，某方面可能善根很强，可是某一方面善根就不怎么强。
I'll explain the sequence of this practice in just a little bit. But before that, I want to first explain the notion of high capacity and low capacity according to this sutra. Based on my own understanding and interpretation, how do you exactly do define what's high capacity? It's a little bit vague, but my understanding is that if whenever you hear in a sutra or in lectures, talking about the most important, number one, profound teaching of Buddha, and that you immediately are able to correspond with it and generate faith about it, or with some of Buddha's other teachings of purifying the mind, the body, speech, and mind, you're able to correspond and actually practice accordingly right away, then, in this case, it's an indication of having high capacity. On the other hand, if you're someone who has millions of questions and no matter what you hear, you have all these doubts and wondering, is this really the case? Is this really so? And even if there's a great master or a sage standing in front of you and teaching you a profound teaching, you're still wondering, is this so? And it doesn't seem that you are able to be convinced before asking hundreds and thousands of questions. In this kind of case, it seems that it's really hard to plant a good seed into into such people's mind. And so maybe for those people, it's the capacity isn't as high as the first category.
那烦恼是什么？烦恼就不用我再赘述了哈。烦恼轻，烦恼重哈。假设一件事情不满意的事情发生在我们身上哈，你就自己去看看，你起多强烈的嗔恨心，然后气多久，你就知道你是轻还是重哈。假设说哦，一点点事情就暴跳如雷。然后你还要气个一年半载的哈，那这烦恼心就是很比较重的了哈。那烦恼心比较轻的就啊，好生气哦，他怎么可以对我这样？没关系啦，请你吃一球冰淇淋哦，吃一次有哎，没事哈。这烦恼很轻了嘛哈？哎，这个人好修行啊。
As what is vexation then? I'm not going to elaborate too much, but then you can also self-examine to see how much vexations you have.So if you encounter something that's unfavorable, that goes against your wish, and you become angry or to have give rise to hatred, it's very easy to discern whether you are someone with heavy vexations or not, depending on how long you harbor your anger. Are you going to hang on to this for 6 months, a year? Or are you someone who would say,Oh, I'm so mad. How could that person do this to me? Yet, if someone says, oh, that's okay. Let me give you a scoop of ice cream and then eat the ice cream, you easily become. You're able to let go of the anger easily. Then that's someone with less vexations who's able to practice with more ease.
所以这个表就告诉我们说，假设你觉得你自己善根很厚，好，然后你烦恼很轻，你是可以直接修真如实观。如果你善根很厚，但是你烦恼还是蛮重的，就要修唯心是观。但是你善根虽然薄，可是你烦恼也薄也轻，那就是可以修真如实观，或是先学唯心是观。假设你真的烦恼真的很薄很薄的，虽然善根没那么厚，只要你可以就是抓住那个真如实观，你还是可以学。那如果说你善根也薄，烦恼又重的话，千万的不要讲真如实观，连唯心是观都先不要先去修，等一下再告诉我们要怎么修。
So this chart lays it out very clearly. If you're someone with high capacity and low, relatively thin afflictions or vexations, then it's all right for you to go ahead immediately to start the practice of contemplation of true suchness.Or if you're someone who has high capacity but your affliction is still very dense, then it's better for you to practice the consciousness only approach first. If you're someone whose capacity is relatively low but your vexation is also relatively thin, even though you don't have very strong capacity,But it's all right for you to go ahead and practice either method of true suchness or conscious only. Finally, if you're someone with relatively low capacity but with very dense affliction, it's not advisable at all for you to practice not only you are not advised to practice the contemplation of true suchness, it's not even suggested.Advisable for you to go ahead and practice the consciousness only contemplation, and instead you need to do something beforehand to prepare yourself for contemplation of consciousness only.
佛陀有一个很笨的弟子，是不是叫周利盘陀伽？少成除垢的吧？好，你们觉得他是属于哪一类啊？他很笨耶，什么都记不住，最后只记得这两句话，扫尘除垢，扫尘除垢，每天就是拿一只扫把扫地。对我来说，他是第一类，善根深厚，烦恼轻，然后扫尘除垢是真如实观跟唯心是观齐修。他如果善根不深厚，一句话佛陀的一句话他就 就抓住那句话。那他若烦恼重的话，想说像我这么厉害的人，这扫地，我应该去当大法师登堂说法，怎么在厨房洗碗呢？怎么是扫地呢？这样的一个看起来很粗劣的方法，很笨拙很低下的方法，他不会起烦恼，他就扫尘除垢，这是他的善根跟福报。假设佛陀给我们说，然后你说哎，你看我们的法师这样一排哈，说师父说从今天开始你们的法门就是扫尘除垢，就是扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，看我们大一半的法师就跑掉了。想说我大学毕业呢，我还硕士博士呢，我怎么一天到晚是扫尘除垢？我要那个开悟那个什么啊，这就是烦恼重，善根厚不厚我就不知道了。但是我现在想起来，周利盘陀伽善根厚烦恼轻，然后扫尘除垢真的是真如实观跟唯心是观齐修，所以他很快就证得阿罗汉果。
The Buddha had a disciple who's known for his for being stupid, so to speak. I don't know a better way. For being slow, his slowness. The Chinese translation of the name is Zhou Li Pan Tuo Qie. I don't know the Sanskrit correspondence at this time. I can look it up. So he was someone who was not able to remember any of the teachings. But so the Buddha at the end just told him that every day you sweep the floor and you just recite that I'm sweeping away dust and getting rid of all defilements. And so just recite that as you sweep. So for you, how would you categorize this person, this disciple of Buddha? I don't know about you, but for me, I would actually categorize him as someone who has really high capacity, but very thin, very little vexations. Why do I say that? He has high capacity because the Buddha taught him one method to clear away dust and get rid of all defilements. And he was able to grasp onto that teaching right away. And to me, this teaching is actually very core, and it's a simultaneous practice of both contemplation of true suchness as well as contemplation of consciousness only. It's a simultaneously approaching these two contemplations with a very simple method. And yet he was able to grasp onto it and just work on it. And this disciple also is low in vexation, in my opinion, because he didn't make any discrimination and thinking, my capacity is much better than this. I should actually ascend the platform and start giving teachings. Why do you, the Buddha, give me such easy method? It's beneath me. I don't know. To me, someone who's able to just accept the teaching from the Buddha is actually someone with very little vexations. Well, if we look at ourselves, the whole road of Dharma masters or Sangha in front of you, had Shifu one day just said, your only job from this point on is to do dishes and clean the floor. That's your only job and that's your only practice. I think at least half of the people will probably run away thinking that this method is too easy for me. I need something that's more profound that will lead to enlightenment. Why am I asked to do the dishes and clean the floor? So, going back to this disciple, he's actually someone with very high capacity and very little vexations, and which, in turn, by focusing on one method, he was able to reach enlightenment and attain arhatship in a relatively short period of time.
那不管我们怎么修哈，这句话我觉得很，目前现阶段来讲，我觉得很重要的一件事情就是说，如果呢，我们舍事观理，它任何的方法，只要是你想要去 去避免世间的一切现象，然后你想只是说抓住这个真理的话呢，那它既不是唯心是观，也不是真如是观，也不是我们大圣行者所要修的方向。所以呢，在大圣的这个教导里面，一定会告诉我们这些初发心的修行者，不可以跳过前两性，就是不可以跳过分别性跟依他性的观察，然后直接进入真如实性。因为分别性跟依他性是要针对现象来观察，就是事，从现象中观察到理。好，那这个就是有点像什么，说哎，我听到无我了，无我你们常听嘛，无我啊，那就是说你看到你也不是人啊，他也不是啊，我心中也不是妈妈，看到你不是人就是分别性的没有了嘛，你心中的妈妈不是真的妈妈，就是依他性的也断除了嘛，那你就说喂，我直接就讲无我了，看到你我就说你不是人啊，然后我所有的记忆都不算了，这就走偏了。要能够直接修无我，就要像国行法师这种本事，他是已经修炼了很久，他吃香蕉跟苹果就没有什么会起强烈的分别心，好，就是我的意思说我会的哈。那依他性，他已经一直在观察心中的妈妈，他会讲出心中的妈妈不是妈妈，是因为他已经知道说，任何勾起他记忆里面的反应，都是来自于他自己内心的种子，不是真的，不是跟真心相应的。他已经这分别心跟依他性已经修炼到某种程度的时候，才是可以直接进入无我的观念观察。那我们一般人哦，分别性跟依他性都还搞不清楚，我们还被他弄得团团转，然后就还要怎么样，还说我要来修我，那这就是徒增烦恼。
So here's a very important understanding to me at this time, that
好的不喜欢，坏的不讨厌，分别性的修持是好的不喜欢，坏的不讨厌，依他性的就是心中的妈妈不是妈妈。
So this very critical understanding to have is as you can see on the PowerPoint, if you're trying to avoid phenomenon and just to observe principles, in that case, this kind of approach is actually, it doesn't neither correspond with the contemplation of consciousness only, nor the contemplation of true suchness.So, it doesn't correspond with Mahayana teaching either. So, instead, it's actually very important that beginners should not bypass the observation of discriminating arising and the dependent arising of the mind. It's important to contemplate those and observe those clearly before moving on to contemplation of true suchness. And so, sometimes,we want to rush things and we want to bypass phenomenons and go directly to the contemplations of the principle. But it doesn't work that way. You have to actually indeed observe the phenomenon, which is the observation of discriminating arising and dependent arising of the mind. You have to go from observing the phenomenon clearly and then extract the principles behind it and get to realize the principles. So like what Guo Xing Fa Shi talks about often,the mother in your mind is not your mother. Some people try to use that method right away and say, oh, there's no self, there's no self, you is no self, and me is no self, and trying to use the term or the understanding in a very superficial and vague way. And to me, my interpretation is that is not the right approach. You're actually going onto a deviant path. In order for someone to truly understandto able to contemplate true suchness, that person needs to have reached a substantial understanding of observation of discrimination arising and dependent arising of the mind. So for someone like Guo Xing Fa Shi, eating a banana versus eating an apple, it doesn't create much, a very different kind of reaction in him. Whereas for me, I react differently to eating apples and bananas.And so for him, he clearly understands that whatever that brings up memories and reactions are merely and manifestations of the mind. So without a true, for most of us, we are still quite confused by discriminating arising and dependent arising of the mind. We're not very clear about it. And for people like us to say we want to go directly to the practice of true suchness, it's round and about, and it actually will create more obstacles in your practice. So Hua Guoxing Pastor said earlier that not grasping onto what is favorable and not rejecting what is unfavorable, that actually corresponds. That is a practice that corresponds to discriminating arising. And whereas the understanding of the mother in your mind is not your true mom, that is more relating to the dependent arising of the mind. So it's important to have a thorough understanding of these concepts before moving on to contemplation of true suchness.
不然我们就要学那个周立盘陀切，以后我们的新道场盖好，每天都来扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，扫地洗碗，就是三番并学，分别心、依他心、真实心齐修。
Or alternatively, you can also learn from that Buddha's disciple that where every day, once the new place is built and functioning, you can come and every day just do the dishes and sweep the floor, do the dishes and sweep the floor. If you're able to do it single-mindedly, then you are actually practicing all three methods together, that you're doing observation of discriminating arising, dependent arising of the mind, as well as the contemplation of true suchness.
好，那我们现在再回归哈。刚刚这是提醒佛陀，地藏王菩萨提醒我们哈，在要修唯心是观跟真如实观的时候哈，假设我们发现自己这个善根也不厚，然后烦恼也很重，哈，修的时候呢是怎么修？但是千万不要跳过前两个。那然后至于我们最后一类的人要怎么修呢？好，就说善根很薄，所有的方法都修不进去，然后呢烦恼一大堆，降服不了，然后又疑心很重，就懂疑，然后堕三恶道。好，人家跟你说上厕所不能念佛，不然会下地狱，然后就哇，那你怎么一心嘛？念佛已经念到已经很绵密了，忽然说我现在上厕所，先等一下，佛号停一下，然后再去上厕所，然后人家一下跟你说什么，就然后这样子很多障碍的时候呢，你要修止观，要修一心，很难的，因为你顾虑这个，顾虑那个。一下这样，一下那样，又怕这个，怕那个，哈，这个你不要说止观要进去，根本就摸不着边的，哈。这样的人，我们应该怎么修呢
？And so this chapter also explains, so for those of us in the third in the last category where the root of goodness is very shallow and we're unable to make advancement.And so we're constantly bombarded by doubts, questioning, and fears. For instance, if you're practicing the method of reciting the Buddha's name, and finally you have seemed to be able to recite continuously, single-mindedly, and suddenly someone tells you that, hey, when you go to the bathroom, you have to stop reciting or else you'll fall into hell after you die. Then upon hearing that, you may start to become fearful andstart having all these doubts and questions about your practice. So for people like this, it's very difficult to practice. We don't even have to talk about the contemplation of true suchness. It's even very difficult for you to get into the practice of samatha and vipassana, to really calm the mind and to stay focused. So for this type of people, how do we practice then?
Oh.佛陀教我们三个方法，就我们再 downgrade 一下，就像我们这种的唯心是观你修不下去，真如是观更不要讲。他说第一个称名号，这个是很共通所有佛菩萨提供的最好的方法，就是居一切时一切处常 勤诵念我之名字，好，就每一尊佛都说你们都诵我的名号啊，好，就是像就地藏王菩萨就说你就诵地藏王菩萨，然后什么千日千遍至于千日，有没有，就是诵我的名字这样子。
And so the in the sutra I provided this first method, and this method is actually being promoted by all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, which is to recite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas' names. So the text says, in all places and at all times, diligently recite my name. And that's a method that is the first method that's provided.
那至于这个 念佛名号啊，它其实我们那个十轮经的时候，下一部经的时候还会再讲哈。但是它既然是讲，当我们念名号的时候，我们在称念的时候觉得是在称心外的佛菩萨名号，阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛，它是依附于净分，它还是属于净分的，不是染污的，是净分的分别性止观的修持，就是说有一个好像外面有一个净悟净，让我们就是阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛一把心止在这里观，那叫做分别性的止观的念佛方法。
So there are different levels or different approaches to reciting Buddha's name, and so for someone who's reciting Buddha's names as an external object of the mind, with this type of approach, something that's external, outside of you, you're reciting or projecting onto an external object or thing. It's a practice of samatha and vipassana on discriminating arising. But instead of being impure and distorted, it's still, you are at least abiding on a pure, something that's pure. It's a pure form of discriminating arising.
大部分人念佛都是这样，就是有一个佛号出来，一个那个是一个外境，一个即便阿弥陀佛四个字出来也是一个外境啊，或是你观想阿弥陀佛什么，就是它是属于心外的。可是要念到什么呢？念到知道这个佛号佛菩萨的圣号，它是自心所现的相分，这个时候呢，也就是说它是自那个佛号是来自于内心，好，这时候的修持就是复净分的依他性止观，它不是一个外面的一个所缘，而是在内心第八意识里面的一个自心所现的相分。
So for most of people, that's how we recite the Buddha's name, that as if there's an external object, or you have uttered the name of the Buddha, it's an external object, or even if you have conjured the image of the Buddha, it's still something external, something outside of the mind. Ultimately, eventually, we want to move on to the phase where, as you recite, you know the names that you recite are the object aspect aroused from within the mind. It's inseparable from the mind. So in this case, it will be at the contemplation of samatha and vipassana on dependence arising, in the pure form of dependence arising.
如果可以这样念佛，念圣号的话呢，它就是在帮助我们，因为我们现在唯心是观修不上去，我们就先念佛，修念圣号。可是念圣号有两种程度的念法，那如果能够持续性的这样修的话呢，就是等于在助长我们修唯心是观的一个能力，好，等于是分别性跟用一个佛号来修分别性跟依他性的止观。好，
So yeah, so if we're not able to immediately get onto the contemplations ofconsciousness only, that we start out, this is one of the methods we can start out with, which is reciting the Buddha's name. And if you're able to recite continuously, the mind will be able to stay focused.
那如果我们可以念到一心不乱，叫做妙止，然后这个念到一心不乱，那个佛号不停的时候呢，它还必须是名号立然，就是每一个佛号是非常清清楚楚的，清清楚楚的， 这个有什么差别？有的人哈、哦，他是变成机械性的。有人说法师，我念到哦，那个佛号自己起来就自己播放，好，那清楚吗？他自己播的我也不知道哈、哦，这就不叫做清楚。好、哦，那这是什么？机械性的反应，好像有一点像什么？诶，我们视觉会暂留嘛？好、哦，耳根也是会听音乐，也会听到余音绕梁三日嘛？那余音绕梁三日算直观吗？哦、不是、哦、所以这边要讲说心不散乱，它不止之外，佛号不停止之外是止、哦、而且心不是散乱，不是阿弥陀佛冰激凌，阿弥陀佛面包，阿弥陀佛那个人讨厌，阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛这样、哦、那就不是，一点都不是、哦、是心不算散乱，而且佛号不断，而且那个佛号是一句一字非常的清楚的。
So if you're able to recite continuously and the mind staying focused, and it will be a very, you will reach this, it's a practice of the wondrous samatha. But not only do you have to practice, recite like this continuously with the mind focused, simultaneously you also have to be very clearly aware of what is being recited.For some people, after reciting for a long time, they got really excited and they come to me and say, Fashi, the recitation has become automatic. It's like it's playing by itself in my mind. And then I ask, well, then are you clear about what is being played or what's playing it? And the answer is no, I'm not very sure what is being recited. And in that case, you are no longer at the state of where you're clearly aware of what is being recited.It's almost like, you know, when we look at things, sometimes there, after you close your eyes, there's this temporary a residue image that's left there. And the same thing, other than the visual, it's the same with audio in the oral format, where after you have been listening to something for a long time, there seems to be some lingering image, residues of that sound.So in those cases, it's not what we're talking about here, that you are no longer being clearly aware of the name recited. So when you're pursuing this method of practice, you first of all need to be able to recite continuously with the mind stay focused. And so you're reciting the Buddha's name continuously without interspersing it with...Amitofo, ice cream, Amitofo, I hate that person, Amitofo, some bread. It's not like that. That's not same focus. You're very far from the state that we were talking about here. So you have to be focused, one name after another, but at the same time, be clearly aware of what you're reciting.
好，那我举这个例子，就是刚刚有讲到说，我们在念佛的时候，一定要到依他起的时候，是要知道说阿弥陀佛或是地藏王菩萨圣号，它是我们内心起的相分、哦、是我们的心去圆那个阿弥陀佛的这个境、哦、它是一个我们内心起的能，就是相分、哦、这是告诉我们说我们绝对，我们是念内心的佛，不是心外的佛。
So just repeat what was said earlier, that we have to recite to the point where we become clearly aware that whatever we're reciting is an object that arises from the mind internally.
那第二个方法呢，是观法身，就是观我们自己每个人的法身跟一切诸佛的法身是同一个法身。那这也是依附净分的，但是这里是依附净分的真实性的止观。好，这就假设念佛可以念得很纯熟了哈，就可以开始观法身。
The second approach that's listed in the sutra is observe that our own dharma body is in essence equal to the dharma bodies of all Buddhas. So here it's also a practice of samatha vipassana.On the true nature, And ultimately, it will facilitate the contemplation of true suchness.
那这个这里最重要的是说，当我们在观法身的时候，要依止一时境界。那这个一时境界，我们前面花了很多的章节讲过哈，它的体相用，对吧？一时境界的体相用，要依止它来修什么？我们的性跟解。好，然后呢，重点是说，我法身是什么？其实就是现前的一念清净心啊，你不要想去攀缘什么过去未来，没有，就在现前的一念清净心就是我们的法身，然后全然自信清净心哈，就是整体它就是什么法身的体，然后这个时候呢才叫做真正的皈依自心三宝，皈依自心佛法身。
When you practice observing Dharma body, is that you have to cultivate your faith and understanding based on one true reality. And earlier on in the previous sessions, we've already gone in in-depth discussion about this one true reality, and you need to abide on this understanding in practice, in this practice of Dharma bodies. And then afterwards, the focus is realizing that the present pure thought is already, and that it's already the Dharma body. So you're not relying on projecting onto something in the future. It's this present thought that's already is intrinsically pure. And afterwards, the pure mind of self nature is the essence. And after having gone through all these, then can we truly say that we are paying homage and relying on the three jewels of our own self nature?
那这两个修了之后呢，那这如果还真的不是那么上手还要修什么？修远离，就是出离心。出离什么呢？出离我们认为的妄生跟妄心。那这用至少修出离心呢，远离心呢，它可以破我们的染分，就是虚妄的分别起跟依他起。刚刚念佛有没有？念佛是净分的分别起跟依他起，是因为我们还是要让心产生一个相，让我们去找嘛，哈。但是它至少佛号是一个净分的。这里的所谓的染分的分别起跟依他起，最主要的要讲的是什么？认为自身四大为自身相，六尘缘影是自性相的这个执着。好，然后这个妄生跟妄心，这个四大的妄生跟六尘缘影这个妄心呢，它还是现前一念心而起的，它还是不离我们的真心，所以不管我们怎么修，就要修什么？用现前的一念心而修，好，这是非常重要。我们不管修什么，一定要抓住现前的一念心。所以，我们任何一个禅修的方法，第一个功能就是叫什么 ？Present moment， 就是要保持你的心在现在。
After having gone through the previous two method, if the practitioner still feels that it's still not very tangible and you're still not ready to move on to contemplations of consciousness only, then there's a third method of cultivating renunciation, and which is the observing the appearance of their own body and mind as impermanent, and it is suffering, there's no self, and it is impure. And this particular practice helps to dispel the deluded nature of discrimination and other dependence. And it will help to help us facilitate the practice of mind consciousness only contemplation. It's important to keep in mind that the earlier two methods that we talked about is also giving rise to an object in which the mind can then focus on. But then with that, that's the kind of objects that's generated from the mind is a pure form of discrimination. Whereas here, we're trying to dispel some of the false understanding and false reliance. For instance, there's a deluded understanding that the four elements, we take it as our own body, and the interaction with the six sensory objects, we think of that as our mind. That is one false thinking that this kind of approach will help us dispel. And but at the same time, it's also important to keep in mind that deluded body and mind, this kind of false understanding, it's still manifested from this present one thought. And whatever practice that we're trying to embark on needs to start from and needs to make use of this present one thought. We don't grasp onto the future or the past. So any type of meditation practice that we talked about focuses on the present moment and using this present one thought to proceed with our own practice.
其实哦，这张 slide 大有学问哈，这没有时间想。但是呢，无论如何修现前一念心，把过去心跟未来心放掉，已经非常的难了。然后能够维持在现前的一念心，然后再修唯心识观跟真如识观，把现前的一念心也放掉，就是《金刚经》讲的什么？过去心不可得，现在心不可得，未来心也不可得。
So this slide, this particular slide that we're talking about right now actually contains a lot of meanings that we can go into in depth. But this whole concept of using this present one thought to practice, it implies that we have to let go of the past and the future. And letting go of the past and future is already a very challenging endeavor. And not only so, after you're able to let go of past and future, then keeping the mind focused on the present moment and using this present moment to contemplate consciousness only and also contemplate true suchness. Ultimately, letting go of the present moment, the thoughts on the present moment, and then this is what in the Vajra Diamond Sutra talks about, that the mind of the past, the mind of the future, and the mind of the present moment, none of these are attainable.
好，那在这边呢，要讲一个地藏王菩萨的一个殊胜的愿哈，或是他的殊胜功德哈，是这样。他说呢，若人欲生他方现在净国，就是净土，应当随彼世界佛之名字，就说假设你要去西方极乐世界，你就称阿弥陀佛，你要去东方琉璃世界，你就称什么药师琉璃光如来，那如果你要去弥勒内院呢，你就称弥勒佛，哎，不是阿弥陀，哎，是本质是迦牟尼佛哈、哦。然后你就反正不管你要去哪里呢，哪一个净土，你专意诵念，一心不乱。然后呢，所谓的如上观察，就是观察法身。我们用称名字这个方法，我们刚刚不是讲了三个方法？第一个称名字，第二个观法身，第三个修厌离，对不对？那现在地藏王菩萨告诉我们说，你只要把那个内身佛，就是不管你要去哪里的那个佛菩萨名号，你撑着住，一心不乱之后，观法身修厌离，决定得生彼佛净土，善根正长，殊祸不退，这是他的愿。他没有说，哎，那个阿弥陀经是说你称阿弥陀佛，对不对？往生西方极乐世界。他有没有说你称阿弥陀佛可以往生东方琉璃世界？没有呢，每个佛都说你称这个名号你就来我的净土嘛，但是地藏王菩萨说，你随便你要去哪里你就称他，然后观这个，我就护持你去你要去的地方，就是这样。所以你修净土法门的人，可不可以念地藏王菩萨圣号？对不对？要不要修止观？ 就是这是他的功德，全包了哈。
So now we'll turn to this very wondrous and auspicious vows that that has been made by the Earth Store Bodhisattva, where he said, if anyone wished to be reborn in the Pure Land somewhere, and they should remember the name of the Buddha of the world, and if they earnestly recite his name, Earth Store Bodhisattva's name, with single, undistracted mind and make observation of this described before, they will definitely be reborn in the Pure Land of that Buddha. And the practitioner, following this approach, the root of good capacity will grow stronger and they will quickly arrive at a spiritual level with no regression. So earlier in the various kind of sutras we talked about, if you want to be reborn in the Western Pure Land, then you should recite the name of Amitabha's Buddha. If you want to be reborn in the land of the East, Lapi Lazuli Pure Land, then you recite the name of Medicine Buddha. And so you were supposedly, according to those sutras, recite the name of the Buddha that correspond to that Pure Land, and then you will be reborn. But in this particular sutra, Earth Store Bodhisattva is actually able to encompass all these different Pure Lands and say, it doesn't matter where you want to go, if you recite my name single-mindedly, you will be guaranteed to go to that, whichever Pure Land that you want to go to. So its strength encompasses all these all pure different Pure Lands.
因为它的名字叫地藏，地就是庄严一切国土，藏就是成熟一切众生。
And that is because his name is Earth Store Bodhisattva, and earth is referring to adorning all different pure lands, and the word store actually means to
成就一切众生，
is to facilitate and help is to assist in the accomplishments of all sentient beings.
那我可能要多占一下一点时间哈。这个最后第二个问题一定要讲哈。地藏经下卷，赞茶三二业报经的下卷有两个问题哈。刚刚讲那两个法门是讲法门是一个问题，第二个法门是如何巧说身法令众生得离圈我。我去 DC 讲这部经哦，讲完之后有一个菩萨马上反应说太难了，我不要修。我说对，我还没有讲到这个问题，他就已经跟我说太难了。其实我自己在研读的时候哦，研读刚开始觉得说好像大概了解了，就发现他又在 讲低等的时候说哟，这低等的怎么这么高等，再往下讲的时候说哎呀，这个这么基础的东西都这么难，我自己会觉得说那我到底要修到什么时候。那地藏王菩萨我里面还有很多内容没有讲，修了半天才到实性啊。那我们菩萨有52个位阶对不对，我说这么简直，我想说这样不是就要开悟了吗，应该就是已经差不多要成佛果了，就啊弄了半天才达实性啊。那你说这样那你还要修吗，那你就会怯懦，你知道所谓怯懦就是说啊这个还是哈。所以地藏王菩萨也很聪明啊，坚净性菩萨也很聪明啊，马上追问地藏王菩萨说你要怎么办。因为呢地藏王菩萨是三安慰说者，他很厉害的哈，他口才很好哦，你什么人来讲我都可以让你怎样，不是啊，都可以让你往进去什么佛道了。
I'm going to take up a little bit more of your time because it's critical for me to talk about these this second question. So chapter 2 actually focuses on two questions. The first one we've already talked about, which is related to the two methods of contemplation. But the second question has to do with So right here, the second question says, how do you skillfully expound the profound Dharma to help sentient beings discard their timidity and weaknesses? And when I taught this sutra, I went to Washington, D.C. and taught this sutra. Immediately after class, there was already someone that approached me and said, this sounds way too difficult. There's no way I'm going to accomplish this, so I'm not going to use this method. And when I myself was reading the sutra, initially I read through it once, a couple times, I felt that I think I understand. But then eventually it got to a deeper level, and I was reading the different categories and different levels of practice, and even the very fundamental basic level seems already very challenging and quite unattainable. And there are a lot of details I didn't go into that was in this sutra, one of which is talks about you have to practice for a very extended amount of time before reaching the state of 10th faith. And initially, when I first, before this, I thought, oh, once gradually you become enlightened, once you become enlightened, perhaps you're not that far away from becoming a Buddha. But that is not the case. So the road seems to be very far and long, and it's difficult. So it's easy for practitioner to start losing faith and or becoming timid. That is why the restored Bodhisattva, as well as firm, pure faith Bodhisattva, they're actually very, very smart. They immediately follow by this question, asking, how do you, what methods have you done to help sentient beings to become less timid and become stronger in their practice?
地藏王菩萨就讲三类的众生要怎么教导他们，基本上就已经把佛陀的所有的经论就已经把它分成三大类了。会加快脚步，第一类小心怯懦者，就心量没那么大，然后很容易退缩的这种人呢，他一听到什么，哇，就像我刚刚讲的52个位阶要爬到什么时候，要做那么多的事情，修炼这么多的苦恨，还要自度度他，还要结束长缘，然后在生死中还要受苦那么久，才达到实性，就觉得裹足不前。这个时候呢，佛就要跟他说什么，说哎呀，一切诸法本自性自空啊，无有生死涅槃，然后烦恼的生死呢，它其实是亦可令灭的啦，就是这个业可以转的，然后烦恼生死即是涅槃，有没有听过？就跟你讲说没有那么难，没有难，烦恼的背面就是涅槃，转个身就是了，好，一切诸法空性哦，这样哈，然后就哦是这样吗？哎，那好像很不难呢，哈，这样。
So the restored Bodhisattva divided people into three different categories, and it actually encompasses all that Buddha has taught. For instance, in the first category, for people with low capacity and who are small-minded, and then they hear that this method is so victorious and wondrous, and so they activate their resolve to want to seek out the practice. And then they become concerned about this path, that it actually requires them to accumulate immense merit to carry out difficult actions and ascetic actions for delivering themselves and others. So it seems like you have to do so much to reach even a very basic step. So for people like this, upon hearing it, they become doubtful and they're not sure whether they will be able to do it. So for this type of sentient beings, Erstor Bodhisattva will then talk about that all dharmas are originally empty by nature and that there's no birth, death, or nirvana. So essentially also explain to sentient beings that afflictions, they all arise and perish and they are dependent and empty in nature. And vexations and afflictions, they also arise and perish. And the flip side of affliction is indeed nirvana. So by talking about this, sentient beings may feel that, well, if you talk about the things are, you can transform the karmas and afflictions, then it doesn't sound so difficult anymore. Maybe I can do it.
Okay. 那第二种人就是 一讲到空，他说啊，怎么办？什么都没有了呢？哦，是不是钱也空了，老婆也空了，物质也空了，什么都空了？那他听到这个，他也会怯懦呢，然后他会变成断灭想，说好嘛，什么都空了，那我做坏事反正也是空的嘛，哈，生死烦恼嘛，哈，地狱跟天宫同为净土啊，就随便做嘛，哈，那又起邪见，然后他也不修行了，这种人怎么办？那佛就说了，哈，如来法身自性不空，跟你讲不空哦，因为呢，这个我们呢，从无始以来哈，这个本来就是圆满的，它是有一个什么本质具足，有一个不空的这个如来的法身，好，你不可以说就是你不要有断灭相，好，我们的这个如来法身是永远存在的哈。
And the second type of people, once they hear about impermanence and emptiness, they become fearful as well, and further giving rise to a false understanding that there's nothing at all. The self is empty, my spouse is empty, my house is empty, so if I do anything bad, it's also empty, so it doesn't matter. So their mind, timid and weak, are fearful of ending up with nothing to gain. So they start having this false belief, perceiving succession, extinctions, and hold a view of increase and decrease, and then they turn around to start slandering Buddha and Buddha Dharma and disdaining themselves and others. So for this type of people, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas then turn around to talk about, explain that the true nature of Tathagata's Dharma body is not empty after all. So it is pure and meritorious and it's already inherently perfect. So no, it's not that everything is empty. The Buddha nature itself is not empty.
所以哈，害怕有的就跟你说空，那害怕空的就说什么？说有哈，所以佛陀的教导，我们有空，有空，有不空的哈，都没有讲唯识的哈，万法唯心所造的哈，那有讲如来藏是讲这个啊，哈，如来法身自性不空嘛哈，没有什么好不好，就跟对不同的根器的哈。
So the Buddha Dharma actually talks about existence and emptiness depending on the capacity of the listener, then different kinds of teaching is expounded to target that particular problem.
那这样讲又说空又说有也不对，还有众生会起烦恼耶。他说哦，那本来本质具足了，那我不用修了嘛，他本来就在那里了嘛，对不对？好，就像我说我凡夫，哎，我是佛嘞，你们礼佛三拜，我说我也不敢，对不对？哈，但是说每个人都有佛性，每个人都是本来成佛了，那我干嘛还修啊？那佛就说，喂，一切善法要增长满足。他说，我们虽然有佛身，我们是具足佛的本质清净的本来面目，但是你要修来的，好，是要用那如来的这个色身呢，哈，是无量功德清净的果报而来的，所以还是要什么？要做好事，好，要修行，然后才能够得到这个清净的如来色身，哈，如来法身这样。
So after explaining and dispelling, and trying to help people dispel their false views of either a fixed existence or emptiness, there are still some people who are deluded and or stubborn. And after hearing those kind of explanation, they will still remain timid and weak. And there, for that third type of people, their reasoning is that if the Dharma body of Tathagatas is originally perfect, not by cultivational formation, then what's the point of me practicing? I'm already perfect. You can bow to me and take three prostrations. Then what's the point of practice? And so for people like that, Bodhisattva then will further explain that, yes, even though the intrinsic nature is already perfect, but it still requires practice to accumulate toward and to acquire this immeasurable merit, which will then bring the pure requital of a pure fruit of merits and virtue.
好，因为时间的关系，我就 conclude 用，我还是回到圆人论，哈，华严系的圆人论的这个结构来跟大家啊 summarize 一下《赞茶三恶业报经》哈。刚开始的时候，我们讲业果因报，业报因果，有没有？我们有做了什么好事，做了什么善事，然后会有什么样的果报？第一，都告诉我们说，哎，有业报因果哈。但是谁人造业，谁人受报呢？是谁在受报哈？我上一辈子的身体跟这辈子的身体，我上辈子做坏事，为什么是我这辈子的身体在受罪呢？哈，哎，对不起，然后就要讲说，那佛陀就要讲说，所谓的苦集灭道，好，为什么我们有苦，就是因为有身有心。好，那这下好了，有身有心，那我是不是？所以在这个时候，有人二圣修行者会说，我就是灰飞灭智，我就身心都不要了，我就不会有苦了。好，但是 ，sorry， 你没有身心，就因为我们有身心，对不对？因为问题是说，你为谁贪嗔，为谁杀盗尸，你在为谁呢？我这个身体，比如说你因为你想要多一点钱嘛，哈，就问你想要吃好的喝好，你想多一点钱，哇，你很努力，然后你抢我钱，哇，你贪嗔痴都出来了，就为了你要有多一点钱。可是呢，你在为谁？你死了以后就没有了。我们大家不是说进棺材什么都没有带走嘛，对不对？可是下一辈子来，你会不会有钱，跟你这辈子有没有关系？那个是谁？不是，那个是谁？就在讲轮回的主体是谁啦。谁在轮回？一定不是我们这个身跟心在轮回。那个轮回的是什么？赶快先翻这段、哦、主要是在讲上卷的内容，在告诉我们这个。
So as we're concluding the sessions on the sutra, I want to summarize everything using the structures in the origin of human beings from that book. So first of all, in chapter one, we started out by talking about karma. Who is creating the karma and who's receiving the karma? And because of our attachment to the self, then they give rise to the three poisons. And so in order to answer the question, the Buddha then moves on to talk about the Four Noble Truths and saying that there's karma has been created and whose people is receiving karma because there's the physical body and mind. And in that case, then some practitioner then start thinking, well, if that's the case, then if I practice in a way to relinquish and to disintegrate or to get rid of body and mind, then there wouldn't be any more and karma and sufferings. But that is actually a false understanding, because the question ultimately related to goes back to, so who is it? If you're receiving suffering, then who are you receiving suffering from whom? For whom? And so essentially it's asking about the question of who is it or what is it that is going through karmic reincarnation?
然后当问到这个问题的时候呢，就要讲到唯识学，说一切的现象是唯心所造。什么呢？轮回的主体是什么？是我们的心识。我们的心识啊，就一二三四第八识，所有的种子都种在八识田里面。然后这个八识是轮回的主体，不管你的身体变怎样，你的心变怎样，心情变得怎么样，你的轮回主体是那个心识，所有的东西都藏在你的轮回的主体里面。好，那好，我们在修唯识的时候呢，那 你说好啊，这个心事唯心所变的，这都是心事所变的，是虚妄的。那所变即妄，能变其真。那心事能就讲能所了哈，能变是假的，所变的是什么？也假的。在网上，事实上心境皆空，能变所变都是空的，就修中观了哈。那修中观呢，是说什么都没有了，什么都是虚妄的哈。那还要再问一个问题：知无者谁？有人说禅修禅到后来说，法师，我的身体都不见了。我说那谁知道身体不见？啊？谁知道身体不见？不要乱讲哈，继续参啊。讲出来都不对。
So once we get to the question, who is it or what is it that's undergoing this karmic reincarnation, then it naturally leads us to the understanding of consciousness only, that everything is a manifestation of the mind. And what the entity that is undergoing karmic reincarnation is our consciousness, and specifically it's a seed that's stored in the eighth consciousness. So if that's the case, if everything is a manifestation of the consciousness, then is the subject real? Is the object real? The notion of subject and object then comes to the fore. And then it will then further leads on to the fourth stage of talking about the concept of neither subject and object. The concept of the middle way, that both the subject and object are ultimately empty. But if that's the case, who is it that is knowing that there's no self? So some people, they have meditated and entered certain states saying that my body feels it's all empty. But then the now ask, who is it then knows that it's all empty? Some of you have tried to give some answer, but my suggestion is not to jump too quick into an answer, because whatever you said would be wrong. So continue investigating.
然后，那我们在知要在探索说知无那个我的那个是什么？不知道，对不对？那个本觉真心是什么？不可说，不可说。这怎么办呢？就来一个如来藏。好，如来藏是隐覆的本觉真心。就说我们有一个如来藏哦，所以参的时候像话头摸照，你说哎，有一个，你一定要觉得有一个没有的那个是什么哈、哦？就有一个如来藏出来了哈、哦。哎，这样，然后真正到最后什么都放下的时候，就是我们本来本觉真心哈、哦，那也是不可说，我也讲不出来哈、哦，不知道怎么讲。
So if we keep asking.What is no self? What is it that is no self? Then it will eventually lead to our understanding or the concept of Tathagata Garbha, that there's nothing, but then there's ought to be something. And all of these is not describable and is not explained. And if you keep asking, investigating, ultimately get to the point where then that itself is also... It leads to the understanding of the true mind. And exactly what this true mind is, because I'm not there yet, so I can't really explain it either.
所以呢，我们反过来哈，就想说，因为我们一念不觉，就有生灭妄想，生灭妄想之后呢，就有觉与不觉。好，觉与不觉之后呢，就是所谓的阿赖耶识启动了哈。然后呢，不觉的。因为不觉，所以境界现象现起的时候会有法执，然后呢，有法执的时候就有自我自他的分别，然后就有我执、哦、然后有我执就有什么贪嗔痴、哦、反过来是这样子讲的、哦、基本上圆人论、哦、就把所有的佛法、哦、用华严经的结构、哦、把所有的佛法归类成这样一个图， 一个 roadmap、哦、也是战茶三和业报经的 roadmap。 这叫什么？下面是在讲上卷，上面是在讲下卷。上卷是在讲这下面的因果的现象，上面呢是在讲什么？真心的修持，战茶三和业报经，这么难呢？讲完了，他那个还没有翻译一下。
So if we reverse the logic, how does everything come about?So it first starts out with one deluded unaware thought, and from that it gives rise to the concept of subject and object, and it gives rise to dharmas and attachment, grasping onto dharma. And furthermore, from this grasping to different phenomenon and dharma, it creates some discrimination and further attachment, self-attachment. And from this attachment to the self, it gives rise to the three different poisons. So,this is the overall structure that is proposed by in this book, that is the origin of human beings. And we can also use this structure to subsume the sutra that we were just talking about, where the bottom half talks about karma and phenomenon. It's actually expounded in the first chapter. And the top half, the blue part,focus on how we can practice and realize our true nature is the focus of the second chapter.
Yes. 所以你看哈，将事破境就是唯心是观，心境皆空就是修真如是观。好，往上。
So again, that in the blue part, to reject and dispel the notion of object.That is connected in the sutra to the contemplation of
consciousness
only. And whereas the very top, on the upper left-hand corner of no mind, contemplation of no mind, of middle way, corresponds with the contemplation of true suchness.
好，讲完了，我耽误那么多时间，对不起。
但是 complicated.
这部经讲完好，因为下一次要再讲，我要讲地藏大圣地藏十轮经，那也是非常精彩的一部经，所以下次再见。 10 vehicle 10 vehicle.
So this concludes our discussion of this sutra, and I'm going to further, and we're going to continue a series on Restored Bodhisattva Sutra, and moving on to the second sutra of the 10 vehicles of Mahayana practice, and it's also a very richSutra. So hopefully we'll see you all back to listen to the second one, second sutra.